My universe exists for my pleasure alone. My universe exists for my pleasure alone. This is Seminar Agelessness, lecture number 9. My universe exists for my pleasure alone. Sounds kind of charming, doesn't it? My universe exists for my pleasure alone. We all have kind of a mistaken idea about what the world is all about. We go around creating things, and in our creating things, we think those things are the important things. We go around creating sandcastles, and we think they're important. We go around creating children and families, we think that's important. We go around creating husbands and wives, and we think that's important. And we go around creating jobs and friends and relationships, and we think those are important. And all of them are very important, because every single thing that we create is an expression of ourself. Now you say, did I really create my husband? I mean, he's a man, and he's got a body, and he lived for 17, 20 years before I met him. And when I met him, he, you know, needed a little polishing, but he was not bad. And so all our years of our marriage, I have groomed him and polished him and created him to be exactly like me in all of my most rotten qualities. And I have not recognized the good qualities that he brought along with him. Happily, when my husband is not in my presence, he expresses those good qualities, and everyone admires him for those good qualities, because they don't know the bad qualities that I have created in him. They don't know how I have taken away his dignity, his charm, his imagination, his vivacity. I have taken all those things away because I wanted to be superior. I didn't want him to be him. I wanted him to be a clone of me. And after I made him a clone of me, I hated him, because he was not that dynamic, self-confident, diligent person that I had met and married. Where did he go? Well, he went right under my thumb. And you see, when we do that, we age ourselves and we age the people we're with. We take them out of their dynamic vivacity that we brought them to us in the first place and made them feel so wonderful in our presence, so delightful and so charming, you know? And poof, we blew them away. And nowhere were they to be found again, except when we were not around. Because they didn't lose it. They didn't lose it. When they were away from us, they were themselves. Now, when they're with us, they are ourselves. Are we ready to be having our universe exist for our pleasure alone? What is your pleasure? Do you really know what it is that is important to you? Do you really know what it is that you want for yourself? Are you going to continually live in the shadow of your parents? Are you going to continually live in the shadow of your teachers and of your friends and your relatives and the people that you know in the world? Are you going to continually live under the shadow of being a Swiss or being a German or being an American? You want to be a universal being. You don't want to be a Swiss person. A Swiss person has so many limitations. They have so many limitations that they have put upon themselves. They said, I am Swiss. This is how we speak. This is our Schweizerdeutsch we speak. This is our German we speak. This is our Italian we speak. This is what we do. This is how we raise our children. This is our school principals. This is, oh my goodness. And then you go to Italy and they have theirs. And you go to Germany, they have theirs. You go to Spain, they have theirs. You go to America, they have theirs. You go to the Philippines, and they have theirs. And the whole thing is one big solid mess. One big solid mess. How shall you act? Now here we have Lydia, who came from Australia, right? And in Australia, they were the craziest people, too. They were down under people. They were Aussies, you know, and they're from down under. And they have all sorts of principles by which they live. And then she came to Switzerland. Now she's living in Switzerland, and she's got all those things. And she's just one big mess, you know. And she's a mess because she has forgotten to do one thing. Can you tell me what it is, Lydia?
Be myself.
Exactly. She has forgotten to be herself. And you see, if in every country we can teach our children and ourselves to be ourselves and have fun, to be themselves and have fun, then all this falderal of being a German or a Swiss or an American or whatever doesn't make any difference. When little children play together, they don't care what nationality they are, what color they are. They don't care what background they are. They don't care whether they wear funny clothes or not. They don't care whether they wear a smock or whether they wear a loincloth or whether they wear a tuxedo, you know, whatever they might wear. They don't care. If they're all naked out in the yard playing, no, doesn't mean a thing to them. Doesn't mean a thing to them. They're untouched by it. You say their hormones haven't kicked in yet. Yeah. What happens when your hormones kick in? When you have values that you have learned as a child, those values go right through, and your hormones never get you in trouble. Never get you in trouble. Now, when I was a teenager, well, we were interested in those things, but we didn't do anything about them. A few did. Out of the whole school, we knew a couple that did, you know. And when we were in the Navy, a few went out and had a great wrestling match with the women they found. But most of us, we just went to the pike and played on the fair there and had ice cream sundaes. And we didn't have cigars or cigarettes. We didn't have liquor. We didn't have anything. It was our nature. We had no desire for it because we hadn't been trained to it. We hadn't been trained that this is where excitement comes from, you know. This is where the game is all about. And were we the worst for it? Not hardly. We had no interest in it. We were not abnormal beings. We were normal boys, you know. But we were not drawn into circles where we were not going to benefit from. We respected every woman in our world just like our mother. Our mothers taught us to respect every girl in the world just like them. Because a girl is a very special thing. A girl is a very special thing that you treat with tenderness and love and gentleness. A girl is something you treat with respect. And the girls were taught to treat the boys with equal respect, with equal honor, with equal joy in their presence, but no, there was no call, no desire for doing things which was out of line with whatever our ethics were. Now, if our ethics were that we have children and we get married when we're 13 years old, well, that's a whole different story, you know? That's a whole different story. But our ethics were that we were 18 before we could drink, and we were 21 before we were of age, and we were 25 basically before you get married. And most young people, and I say most, and probably even the majority, super majority, did not have sex before they were 25. Now you see, how strange. Well, of course, this was back in an age when the body was respected as a wonderful vehicle. This was back in an age where a family was respected as a unit. This is an age where marriage was respected. If a man and a woman would go out and violate their marriage vows, you didn't dislike them, but you didn't respect them. And you would slowly drift away from them. Because they were not in your value system. They're not bad people, but they were not in your value system. They were not living in the way. When I was in the Navy, I ran around with kids who were like me. You understand that? Who were like me. Now, I may not have been all that good or all that bad, but they were like me. And other guys ran around with guys who were like them. And I ran around with the 18-year-olds, the 19-year-olds. That's the age that it was when I was in the Navy. I ran around with those. I didn't go around with the 20-year-old kids or the 21-year-old kids or the 25 or the 30-year-old. They were not in my area of thinking at all. Now, you see, my universe exists for my pleasure alone. But upon what do we base our pleasure? Upon what do we base our values? Upon what do we base who we are? Now, I'm not in any way saying I'm a goody-goody guy. I am, but I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is I lived by my values. You understand? Yeah. Just by my values. Whatever my values may have been. And if my values were from the Polynesian countries, okay. If they were from China, okay. If they were from Germany, okay, you know? Whatever my values were. And we say that even now. Oh, he's German. I understand how Germans are. Oh, he's Swiss. I understand how Swiss are. He's Italian? Ho, the lovers, you know. Italians are some of the poorest lovers in the world. The poorest lovers in the world. The French, that's another story. And the French make a big fuss over loving, but they do very little of it. Really. If the facts were to be known, the very thing that these countries are known for is what they don't do. You know? Crime in America is not what people think it is. But they make it so. And in Japan, do you think of Japan as a crime country? It is a big crime country. Japan has more crime in it than any, percentile-wise, than any other country on earth. Now, it's not an evil country, but it is a country that condones and espouses crime. And it's a shame. Now, my universe exists for my pleasure alone. What is your pleasure? Now, stop and think. I'm not trying to tell you what your pleasure should be, but I'm telling you, you should tell yourself what your pleasure should be. You should tell yourself, what are your values? You see here, I live fully and well every moment. What are your values? What values do you live fully and well every moment? What values do you have in your life that make your life a treasure? Now, you know, people often say, well, I found the spiritual path. And I'm walking the spiritual path now. And I have no interest in sex anymore. I have no interest in sex now that I found the spiritual path. Well, bull roar. What a bunch of nonsense. You never did have an interest in sex. You had an interest in doing something that you felt you shouldn't do. That's what you had an interest in. Because sex is the most natural thing on earth for procreation of children and for men and women who have a relationship with one another. You understand that? And it's a perfectly normal thing. But the thing is, when you think you should have it and you don't have it, then what is it that your values are? What is your values about? Now, Lydia, she says, I am a gourmet cook. And I say, super. If you are a gourmet cook, then you don't talk about it. You do it. You set your table with perfect foods. You eat with good quality and with taste. And if you're a gourmet cook, you also are aware that there are some foods that are not gourmet. And you eat them, and that's just fine. But when you eat, a gourmet cook eats with savoir-faire. A gourmet cook eats with delight and doesn't eat things that doesn't delight the gourmet cook. You understand? Mm-hmm. And it's not a matter of do you have it or don't you have it? It's that whatever is your delight that you have, you delight in it. Now, Dorothea is not a gourmet cook, but Dorothea is a woman of class and a woman of great class is the best word, I guess. When she eats to enjoy every little morsel of food on her plate. She cuts every little piece up in a fine way. You don't? You don't do that?
Yes.
Don't you cut your food? Yes. Well, you're shaking your head no. Uh-huh. Oh, she has been going up and down, not sideways. Okay, now, she cuts every little piece of food. She cuts every little piece of potato, every little piece of carrot. This is not bad. She is savoring the flavor of each morsel of food she puts in her mouth. She'd go, oh, 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 you know. We got to work on Ingeborg on this. Ingeborg eats like food's going out of style. She loves food and she shoves it in, and you ask her a question, you got to chomp it down first before she can answer the question. Now, Ingeborg is a quality lady, but she's gotten away from her values by her tummy making demands on her. Eat, 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 come on, eat, eat, eat. And we don't want to do that. Dorothea, I imagine, if the truth were known, eats a greater volume of food than Ingeborg does. But Dorothea does it with such delight, with such care for each morsel of food. You say, well, what are you trying to make out of Dorothea here?
Yeah.
Well, I am saying that you are the real gourmet diner. You are the one who really appreciates your food. You do. Now, Ellen appreciates what she appreciates, and the rest of it, she doesn't care anything. You know? And what does Gertrude do? Gertrude, when she is at the table, her primary job is not eating, but seeing what everybody else is doing and seeing where she can be a blessing to them to make sure that the food lands in front of them so that they have what they want. She's just a lovely mother consciousness, you know. And we want all of you to train away from that. And Sylvia is a wonderful lady. She makes me a poached egg every morning by her choice, not mine. I delight in having you do it, but it's her choice. She makes me a piece of toast every morning. She knows I want one piece of toast and one poached egg, and she doesn't pay attention to what's going on my plate. I have other beautiful people bringing me toast, bringing me things, bringing me various things, and she doesn't pay attention to that. She should be alert if she wants to be caring about what she's doing for me. If there's one piece of toast on my plate, she doesn't bring another, you know? If there's one piece of toast on my plate, she knows I want only one. And she knows that I'm doing damn good. I'm losing weight. And she wants to help me continue doing damn good. You understand? And for her to shove more toast at me, to shove more food at me than I want, is not a lovely thing to do. But you have to be alert. If you want to be serving me at all, you have to make sure that you're serving me according to that program that we have, okay? Now, did the other people who were giving me toast and so forth know that I was doing this program? No. They just wanted to be loving also, right? Okay, now, you see, my universe exists for my pleasure alone. I have to be on top of everybody. I have to be on top of everybody. Good old Dorothea over here. Oh, Herb, have some of this. Oh, Herb, have some of this. Oh, Herb, this is so good. You should really go. Herb, let me give you some of mine. Well, thank you very much, but no thank you. You follow me? You see, it's for your pleasure alone. Now, if it's your pleasure to give me things, then you got a problem, because it's also my pleasure to say no thank you, and I must have that privilege if I'm going to be in your world of you giving me things, you know. And this is how it always is. Now, Ingeborg, do we take A spoonful of jelly makes the medicine go down, a spoonful of honey. Do we take a spoonful of jelly out of the jelly bowl and then eat it direct, or do we put it onto our toast, bread, or whatever? Is it a condiment, or are we acting like Stefan Stressley? Remember when Stefan was here? Stefan would take the bottle of ketchup and squirt it into the spoon. Whoop. Squirted it. He loved that ketchup. He thought that was the greatest thing. I don't know. Didn't you have ketchup in Switzerland? But he loved that ketchup. And after a while, he had enough. But when he was going through his ketchup phase, he ate ketchup like it was going out of style. Just like Ingeborg eats jelly and this nutmeg and this other stuff. We don't do that. I told Stefan, too. We don't do that. It is a condiment. It is a condiment, but he had to get it out of his system. He had to get out of his system the idea that I have to have that. Oh, that's so good. It's so good. And it probably was. But you see, my universe exists for my pleasure alone. Is his pleasure having the condiment in big spoonsful? Now you say, Herb, why are you picking on these people? Yes, I know. Why are you picking on? If you think I'm picking on any people, you have a problem. And the problem is that you're judging. Now, do I care if Stefan does this? Do I care if Ingeborg does this? Do I care if Sylvia comes to the table? I'm on a diet. And then she stops eating all the food that we have for dinner. And then when the beautiful big dessert comes along, whoomp, down the hatch. And, you know, you think I don't notice these things? but, oh yes. You see, these are games we play. We don't need to announce to anyone what we're doing. We just be ourselves and have fun. We be ourselves. And where Dorothea cuts up her food in fine pieces, and Gertrude doesn't really eat so terribly much herself, but she's always concerned about other people having it. And Lydia is our gourmet person on everything. What's that, Lydia?
I don't think I am. I never called myself that.
But you sure agreed to it at first.
I did. If someone says you're gourmet, why not?
All right, then why are you now disagreeing?
I accept it then.
Well, then why are you now saying that maybe you're not? Why are you... You see, the thing is, Dorothea, Lydia, yeah, Dorothea, Lydia, you're all here. The thing is, you are playing a role of on again, off again. I want you to be so diligent with the idea that you are number one, that you are beautiful, that you are a glorious woman, that everything in this world exists for you, that you don't have to protect your butt ever. You don't ever have to protect your values, your issues, or anything, because you live them. Can you understand that?
Perfectly.
Okay, so if you live them, then you never judge it if somebody else. You never say, Herb, why are you saying that Ingeborg is taking the jelly in spoonfuls and eating it down? Why are you saying that? That doesn't sound like very nice. That sounds kind of piggish, you know. That sounds sort of unmannerly. And it's not unmannerly. It's only unmannerly if we think that she should be doing it differently. Now, if you think that she should be doing that, then that's perfectly okay. If Sylvia thinks that she should be doing whatever she is doing, then that's okay. I want each one of you to enter into part of what our topic is this morning. And you know what part of our topic is? I am unconditional love and live in this attitude. I am unconditional love and live in this attitude. Now you say, where did that come from? I didn't realize that was part of our talk at the moment. Yes, it is. You see, I unconditionally love Ingeborg. I unconditionally love Ingeborg, and I see her as a lady. I see her as a person with perfect table manners. I see her as a person who is young and dynamic. I see her as a lady that runs around here just like, not like a chicken with a head cut off, but I see her running around campus doing all of these things that make her happy, picking up wood or sticks and planting trees and doing all the things that she delights in. I see her in doing that. But you see, I also bring to her attention when she is not doing what she says she wants to do. And it's not that I judge her, but I'm saying, is this what you want to portray? Ingeborg, do you love yourself unconditionally? Don't be so reluctant and so slow in saying yes or no. Obviously, you don't love yourself. And that's what I want you to stop doing. I want you to stop not loving yourself and start loving yourself. Start saying, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I'm a glorious person. I'm a fantastic. Is that true?
Yes.
Yes. My goodness, I'm glad you did that. Yes. All right. If that's true, then act like it. Act like it. Walk around here with that trim, slim attitude that makes you just beautiful. Now, don't say, but I hurt, but I... No, you don't. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. You heard what we said in our morning talk. What did we say? Say it till it gets into your craw and you can't say it anymore. And then say it more and watch it happen. You don't know, Ingeborg, you don't know when you play the piano and practice the piano when you have arrived at being a professional. You don't know. You just all of a sudden are professional. All of a sudden you play beautifully and you don't know when that happened. But you will keep on keeping on because that moment when you don't know is going to be a glorious moment, even though you don't know it. You will be playing like a master, but you will be experiencing a body of a master if you continue practicing. I'm home perfect. If you say, I am unconditional love, I love everybody unconditionally, I don't love some people because they're nice to me and other people I don't love because they're not nice to me, I'm unconditional love. You see, this is the practice. You follow me? That's what it's all about. And I get on your back because you're saying things sometimes that you're not really meaning. And I want you to say things that you really mean. And what you really mean is, Ingeborg, are you one of the greatest beings that was ever born on the face of the earth?
Yes.
Ingeborg, what should you say? I am not one of, I am the greatest being ever born on the face of the earth, right? Huh? A little reluctantly there. You see, we think we're superior to somebody else. But Ingeborg, why are you the greatest being ever born on the face of the earth? Because you're number what?
I'm number one.
You're number one. What's there to compare yourself with? There are no other number ones, are there?
Mm-hmm.
Just you. So start living in that consciousness and stop judging yourself by other people. And stop looking at your body as something that needs repair. Look at your body as something that's already there. Perfect.
Yeah.
I swear. Bah. What's that, Ellen?
Yeah, by the navy.
Talking about yourself again, aren't you?
Yeah,
I thought so. But you see, Ingeborg, that's what you want to do every moment of your day. Every moment of your day. You want to be so busy, you don't have time to sleep. You want to be so busy, you don't have time to do anything. And whatever, Ingeborg, this is not a nice question to ask. Do you eat food? Yes, you do. Why do you eat food when you don't need it? You eat it because it's something to do, right? Right? Okay. Why do you take pills occasionally? Because it's something to do. Now, when you stop taking your pills, you miss them. When you stop taking your food, you miss it. When you stop breathing air, you miss it, right? Okay. They're all the same. They're all the same. Keep doing it until all of a sudden you don't realize that you haven't been doing it. And you're perfect. You're ideal. You're living off of the eternal mana of the universe. You're living off of the essence of each atomic cell in your body, which is complete and perfect and whole. This is where you want to be. This is where you want to be. You want to be that your universe exists for your pleasure alone. But first you got to realize how wonderful you are. Sylvia, how wonderful are you?
Number one.
Yeah. I really got a lot of enthusiasm out of that, didn't I? Sylvia, how are you? With a little bit of schnapps in here, you know?
Number one.
I'm number one.
I'm number one.
And why are you comparing yourself to others? Who?
Each other.
Who? Who?
Who?
What? Who?
Who?
Yeah?
Yeah.
You see, you got to learn the game. If you don't learn the game, then you can't play it. And Gertrude,
yeah.
When you get up and sing, who do you sing for?
For myself.
Are you good?
Yes.
Are you fabulous?
I am so fabulous.
Are you better than anybody else on the face of the earth?
No.
No. Your answer is who? Yeah. Who else is there besides me?
Yeah.
I'm not compared to anybody else on the face of the earth because there's nobody else there. Everyone on the face of the earth is what? Is you and your creation.
Yeah.
And you created them fabulous singers too, if you wished. You know, did you? Yeah. Why do you go to that group of people and sing with them? Because you create yourself in those fabulous singers. And why do you look at some of those singers and say, wow, are they great? Well, try it. You'll find that that's you. That's you. That's the magic of yours. But you see, you let yourself fall into the spell of saying that years are going by and I'm aging. Why should any singer ever lose their beautiful voice? Age has nothing to do with it. My brother-in-law, Bill, he's 85 or something like that, and you talk to him on the phone, "Hello, Herb, how are you doing?" "I'm doing just fine." "Oh, boy, did he put it?" You talk to him and you think, "My God, what a powerhouse he is." Well, he's suffering from some illnesses. When you see his body, he's just a little bit relaxed. But his voice is fantastic. Now, Dorothea, when she chooses to speak in an enthusiastic way, what? You would say that? Clear, precise. And then at other times, when she's looking for a little sympathy, she says, "Well, no, I..." And she gets her tremolo going in there, and she gets her sympathy request going in there. And none of us give her any sympathy. Because we know the real Dorothy. And we know, hey, when kids go to their mommy and say, "Mommy, can I do this?" Mommy says, "No." And then they go to daddy. "Mommy said I had to ask you. And if you say it's okay, then I can do it." And so, did mommy really say that? But kids say that, don't they? Yeah. See, that's the games they play. And when you teach kids to get away with that, then you're teaching them to be in trouble. What you'd want to do, if a child says, "Mommy, can I do this?" And the mother said, "I think that this is what you want to do. This is what you really want to do. But mommy, I want to do that. I think this is what you want to do." Now, you don't go asking your father for permission, because I am the one who gives permission here. Your father and I have agreed that if he says no, it's no. If I say no, it's no. If he says yes, it's yes. And if I say yes, it's yes. But only when we are dealing with you individually. You do not go back and forth and play games. No way. No way. My mother made that ultra certain for us. My dad was never asked for permission to do anything, because my dad had one word. What was that word?
No.
No. So we never went to dad. And we went to mom and we tried to weasel her out, but sometimes she'd fall into it, but most of the time mom would just say, "Now, is that what you really want to do? Is that the type of kids you want to run around with? Are they the kind? Is that the type of program you want to put in your consciousness? Is that the type of horror movie you want in your consciousness before you go to bed so you have nightmares?" And we had to agree she was right, you know. We had to agree that mom knew what she was talking about. But you see, my universe exists for my pleasure alone, and I live fully and well every moment. Now you say, "Well, Herb, most of what you said this morning now has been a harangue, has been something to put us in our place and something to shake us up and rattle our bones a little bit. And yes, that's true. Yes, that's true. And I do my utmost to push your buttons. And I have the most fun doing it. And the more I see that my ability to push your buttons is done, the more I realize that I have accomplished what I was going after. Being myself and having fun is expressed in my pleasure and how I live. Now, Lydia, how do you live? That's a big question, isn't it?
Enjoys.
Lydia? All right, now I will say, Herb, how do you live? I live being myself and having fun. I live as a happy person. I live with my nose trimmed at all times. My nose out of anybody else's business at all times. I live, you say, well, Herb, you sure talk about, what's her name over here? Ingeborg, yeah. And you sure talk about Dodie. You sure talk about Ellen. You sure talk about Gertrude. You sure talk about me. And you sure talk about Sylvia. And you're ripping us all to pieces. Ripping you to pieces? You are all angels. You are all angels. All I'm doing is taking my fine polishing cloth and gently touching the diamond in your soul and bringing out the beautiful facets that are there and dusting off that dust that says it can't be done, or that dust that says, why are you so mean to me, you know? And when the dust is gone, you say, ooh, I'm glad you did that, you know? I'm glad you did that. Have you ever, you have children, have you ever taken a little child that has just come in from play and they are dirty, dirty, dirty. And you say, you jump in the tub before you come in now. And so they go upstairs, they drop their clothes as they go along, and they go upstairs and jump in the tub. And they come out, and the dirt's still there. Somehow they were able to take a bath and not remove any dirt. It's amazing what they can do. And so you take them, and you say, now let's go back. And you usually take an ear to encourage them on their way. And you say, now come on, let's go along. And then you put them back in the bathtub. And you take some soap. And you scrub them with some soap in the washcloth. And next thing you know, out they come sparkling clean. And you say to yourself and to them, wow, you look beautiful. Well, then why do I have to get dressed, Mommy? You look beautiful. You look beautiful. You're clean as a whistle. You're sparkling. You're wonderful. And when you do that, you have hurt them because you have taken the washcloth and scrubbed away all that dirt that was their friend that they loved having there. And then out came this beautiful child. Out came this beautiful child. Now, you have taken away something from them. You've taken away the privilege of being dirty. Ellen tells about her kids going playing by the seaside in Venice and how the neighboring kids were dirty and sloppy and messy, and they left home after breakfast and they didn't return until, you know, maybe dinner time, and they were just terrible. And it was cold outside and they just had shorts or whatever, and they were dirty and wet and cold. And never one of them had a cold. But her kids, who were all bundled up with stockings and long pants and shirts and jackets on, they always were sniffling, you know? Now, why is it? Was it that the dirty little heathens were somehow immune to colds? Or that her children were somehow subject to colds? No. The parents of the little heathens loved their kids and saw them healthy as foxes all the time. And Ellen was worried about her little angels all the time, worried, are they warm? Are they cold? Do they have wet feet? Are they getting their noses blown when they have to? You know, and so forth and so on. And that worry, not the dirt, not the cold, not the clothing, but the worry made her children have sniffles where the neighbor children never did. You see, When we love unconditionally, when we love unconditionally, beautiful things can happen. Why weren't the neighbor children having colds too when Ellen was thinking, why don't you have colds too? You know, you have no clothes on you. You're out in the wet and the cold and you're running around, you know, like a bunch of banshees, you know. Well, they didn't have it because they were immune to Ellen. They were immune to anybody who had any contact, concept about them that was not perfect and whole and beautiful. And this is what we want to do for ourselves. Ingeborg, this is what you want to do for yourself. You want to have the concept of yourself as a young spring chicken. Is that the way I see you?
Yes, you do.
And is that the way you see yourself?
Yes, I accept.
You accept? I say, is that the way you see yourself?
Yes, I do.
Well, then that's fantastic. Then I expect that out of you every single moment of the day. Are you willing?
Yes.
Are you willing?
I am.
Oh, I think that is even better. Thank you.
Thank you.
You want to cut my throat? We don't realize how sometimes little comments like this give us a chance to wake up. Wake up from a sleep that we've had where we have felt that we were doing the right thing and we weren't. Now, Ingeborg, I'm home perfect, forever and ever, say it. And before you realize it, you will be a grand concert master because you're practicing. You'll be a grand, before you realize it, Ingeborg, you're going to be 18 again. Not again, but you're going to be 18. Before you realize it, you're going to be expressing all the vitality and dynamics, the dynamics of this kid that you always are. And you know, Ingeborg, every time I talk to you and you tell me about when you were home with your mother and your brothers and stuff like that, your mother and whatever, and what experiences you went through, what were you doing? Were you always a bouncy, active, vital young lady? That's who you are. See yourself as that vital, bouncy, dynamic young lady who you always are. And you too, Dorothea. See yourself. You didn't come into this group just for healing. You didn't come into this group just for spiritual illumination. You had the healing. You had the spiritual illumination. There's no spiritual illumination we can give you. And there's none you can find here. But what you can find, Dorothea, is that self of yourself, which is so glorious and so vital and so dynamic and so eternal, that's living right now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's me.
That makes sense, doesn't it? Okay, now, how do you do it? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You do it by having every thought on you as the dynamic being that you are. Every thought. And if you want to say, I'm whole and perfect, meaning that you live in this dynamic wholeness, this dynamic purity, that's good too. A whole and perfect can refer to your body, your mind, your spirit, everything. Make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You too, Ellen, you know?
Yes.
I'm ageless in my universe. Are you ageless in your universe?
I am ageless.
What does ageless mean, Ellen?
Being myself and having fun and living in the now.
You see, we want to right away think of ageless being without an age. And it is without an age. But agelessness is being yourself and having fun at all times in whatever circumstances you find yourself. It doesn't matter what that circumstance may be. You're always having fun. You're always doing great things. You're always having great experiences. And you do. But remember this. If anyone can push your button now or at any time, then you are still living in the now, you're living in the past. That's right. That's the word. You're living in the past. If you live in the now, there are no buttons that could ever be pushed. If you're living in the now, being yourself and having fun, you cannot be touched by anything. And that's really what it's all about. You don't want to be touched by anything. You want to be the allness that you are. Now, I am unconditional love and live in this attitude. How can you do that? How can you do that? How can you be unconditional love and live in this attitude? You are unconditional love and live in the attitude of unconditional love by getting your nose out of other people's business. Unconditional love loves everyone and delights in everyone and feels that everyone is just utterly marvelous. Feels that everyone is fulfilled in every way. Now, can you offend a little child by saying something bad about them?
No.
They're untouched, aren't they?
Yeah.
Can you offend a person who is a master by saying something unkind about them?
No.
Not at all. So just remember, if anyone can be offended by something that's said in their world, they're not being their master self. They're not being the genius that they are. They're being a limited being, and you don't want to be a limited being, because to be a limited being, you cut yourself right off from everything. It's absolutely fantastic. Now, Ingeborg? Puckert? Ingeborg? Schnoozy?
Yes?
Would you like to stand up? Sure you would. Ingeborg is untouched by anything. Ingeborg is a super master. She is doing everything in the wonderful way that she is designed to do it. She is a sparkling, dynamic, wonderful being. And all of you who are sitting there watching Ingeborg get up are the biggest fools on the face of the earth. You would see her up. You would see her dancing. Throw back your shoulders. Pull in your tummy. Parade around here for us a little bit. In front. Ingeborg, you're wonderful. Now, Ingeborg, up with that chin. That's the way. Now, just remember, Ingeborg, you are Princess Di. And, oh, yes, up come the hands. You notice how that delicacy comes? Ingeborg, if you can act this way when I ask you to, you can act this way all the time. Because this is who you are. You are this unconditionally loving being. Come on, a couple more parade movements here. Now, oh, oh, ho, 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 we're going to do a little fancy stuff here, huh? But you see, Ingeborg has it that she can stand there and put her foot up and grab it with her hand when she wants to do it. And she can do all sorts of things. Now, why am I having Ingeborg walk back and forth? I'm having Ingeborg walk back and forth because Ingeborg hears what I say when she walks back and forth. Ingeborg, are you beautiful? Ingeborg, are you beautiful?
Yes.
Yes. Ingeborg, are you a wonderful lady?
Yes.
Do I love you, Ingeborg?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. No doubt about that, right? And Ingeborg, would I ever push your button?
Sometimes.
I can't push your button. You're unpushable. You are like a little kid. You are like a master. And a master and a kid, you can't push their buttons because they believe in themselves so fully. You're a naughty little boy. When? You know, and you say to a master, you're stupid. In what area? You know, where would you say I'm stupid? That's most interesting. I have always thought that I was alert and awake. Another check or two here. I was alert and awake. And that's great, Ingeborg. You're fantastic. You know, Ingeborg, by the time this seminar is over, I expect that you're going to be levitating for us.
I like that.
I don't blame you. I like that too.
I'm more than typically.
Excuse me?
I'm more than typically.
Okay, flop. You may sit down, and then you'll get up again. Or you want to stay up. Once you're up. Okay, now, remember this, and stop being such little judgers. You're judging the button pushing, and you're losing the gift of the experience for yourself. Don't do that. You are the master. You are the creator of your world. You are utterly fantastic. You're glorious. You're supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You're wonderful. And I love you. I do. You know that? Which side did we come from here? We came from that side. Okay. So, we will be ready for our next adventure in a little bit. My universe knows not of itself. Oh, how about that? My universe knows not of itself. Okay, that should be a lot of fun. So be ready and have a good time and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.